If you're looking for perfect artistic gifts for your loved ones when you travel, then check the elegant handcrafted ceramics at the House of Raw. Use the code TSMOSH and save on your first purchase. Details in the show notes of this episode. Hello everyone and welcome to Season 3 of Travel Stories with Mosh. If you love the world around you and you love exploring different landscapes, cultures, cuisines and cities, then you are in the right place because here every week I will be talking to an incredible travel enthusiast who will take us on a fascinating journey around the world by sharing their travel stories. On the episode with me today, I have the very amazing travel writer, Sarah Hedley-Hymers. Sarah is also a television presenter and an author who has recently released her latest book, The Lonely Planet Guide to Dubai and Abu Dhabi. With her many years of experience in the travel world, Sarah is definitely that person who has some very incredible travel stories to share, and I am super excited to go on a journey with her around the world. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah. I am super thrilled to have you here in the studio with me and very excited to go on a journey to some very interesting places.
Thank you for joining me on my journeys.
So, you know, you are a travel writer
mm-hmm.
and you have called Dubai home for a very long time. Of course, we're going to talk about the Lonely Planet Guide to Dubai and Abu Dhabi. But tell me, why have you chosen Dubai as a base for such a long time?
Primarily because of the safety aspect for mm-hmm. women.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in London prior to moving to Dubai, and any woman who lives in London knows that when you walk home from the tube, you hold your keys between your knuckles so you have a weapon ready if somebody was to attack you, and you live that way as the norm. And only after living somewhere where you're not likely to get attacked on the street does that weight lift from your shoulders, and it's life-changing to be somewhere where in London I wouldn't walk anywhere really on my own in the dark. I wouldn't walk through a park. So it is a very serious problem, safety for women around the world. And in Dubai, I don't feel at risk. Yeah. So that is worth its weight in gold. It's priceless.
It is priceless. And, you know, I mean, most of us are expatriates here in Dubai, and I have been here very, very long. And, you know, when you are a mother and you have your child just outside there playing and you know he or she is safe, and that is, again, very, very priceless. Yeah. So, you know, Dubai really kind of ticks all the boxes as far as safety is concerned. Now, again, you know Dubai so well. So which is your most interesting part about Dubai, you'd say?
I like the old town.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best thing that you can do in Dubai by a mile is the 1 dirham Abra ride across the creek, particularly in the morning or at dusk when there's just beautiful pink skies and birds flying across the water, and the creek goes out into the Arabian Sea, and you have all the wooden boats, the traditional wooden boats moored along one side. It feels like you're traveling back in time for the price of 1 dirham, 20 pence. You know, it's not the most expensive thing in Dubai to do, but it's definitely one of my favorite things.
Okay. No, that's really a beautiful thing to do. And we will discuss a lot more about Dubai and Abu Dhabi because we'll talk about your latest book. But now, where would you be taking us on a journey to begin this podcast?
Okay. So bear with me. It sounds X-rated, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm naked. Mm-hmm. I'm suspended in the sky in Tokyo.
Okay.
And I'm in hot, salty water that's as black as the sky above me. So this is one of the most surreal travel experiences I've ever had. It's an onsen on the top of a hotel. An onsen is a traditional Japanese bath where the water is supplied from a hot spring. There's a hot spring 1,500 meters underneath Tokyo, and Hoshinoya Tokyo, a beautiful traditional hotel in a very modern skyscraper building. It's converted the roof into an open air onsen. And it's separated for men and women. And you, when you're in the onsen, you're not allowed to wear clothes because the water is pure, and fabric, because of the chemicals in fabric conditioners, etc., can contaminate the water. So it is gender specific. But once you're in there, you're not allowed to wear anything. And I just arrived at the hotel, and it was past midnight, but it's open 24 hours, and it's a long journey to Tokyo.
Yeah.
And it was just so lovely. They recommended I just go straight up to the onsen and just decompress from the flight, just relax, just float. And I felt very exposed, but then very liberated.
Mm.
And it was just a really wonderful Japanese experience. And the hotel itself is absolutely spectacular.
Mm.
So I hadn't heard of the Hoshino hotels until staying at this. Hoshinoya, the brand, is their sort of flagship for their most luxurious or unique hotels. And yeah, it's a beautiful hotel. In the basement is one of my favorite restaurants in the whole world. They do tasting menus, Japanese style with French techniques, and the food is just stunning. Everything's a masterpiece. And then in between you have the rooms, and each floor is done as like a private ryokan, which is a traditional Japanese dwelling. It just feels like you're in the center of Japan, but also in its history at the same time. It's a really special hotel. It was the world's 50 best hotels, came out last year, the inaugural list, and it was number 39. And it really made me think the list knows what it's talking about, because I can verify that that hotel is definitely one of the top 50 hotels in the world that you should stay in for that experience. It's a really special place.
It is. So that is why a journey in this hotel just is absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
So this is the Hoshinoya?
Hoshinoya, Tokyo.
Okay, that was a nice little journey in Japan, to Japan, and this beautiful hotel that there is in Japan, to have this authentic experience. But you're also a bit of a cruise specialist.
I am.
Yeah. And so give us a little bit, give us a peek into the world of cruises and why you think that people should definitely go on a cruise once in their lifetime, at least.
Well, for now, in the current climate, I'm quite shocked about hotel room prices.
Mm-hmm.
Post-COVID, they've gone through the roof. And if you compare like for like with a stateroom on a cruise ship, you'll see that the value for money is just incomparable.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting so much more on a cruise ship. People worry that your stateroom on a cruise ship is going to be too small or claustrophobic. On good cruise ships, the rooms are pristine. And when you unpack, you always have a little walk-in wardrobe. And then once you've unpacked and put your suitcases under the bed, it's a smaller space in terms of, you know, swinging cats.
Mm.
But I mean, we're not on holiday to swing cats, right? We're out and about, and that's the other good thing about cruising, is you get to see so many destinations. So you are out a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the value for money is just at an all-time high at this moment in time in the history of travel because of the post-COVID recoup interest rates. Hotel rooms are expensive.
Yeah.
Staterooms are good value for money. On top of the value for money, the entertainment is usually free and the food and drinks are usually included.
Mm-hmm.
So it just represents a really good value holiday.
Mm-hmm.
As a traveler, I always like to see as many places as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also something that a cruise allows. Now, it used to be that cruise ships would stop somewhere for 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours, and it was a tight turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
You were on and off the ships. Now, they're much more aware of the fact that people want to spend longer in destination. So they're arriving really early, they're leaving much later, or they're even doing overnight stays.
Right.
So you might end up spending 2 nights in Santorini,
yeah.
not having to pay Santorini's a prime example of somewhere where you cannot get a decent room for less than $1,000 in Santorini. On a cruise ship, you can get a really, really good room and you can stay for two nights and experience Santorini. And in two nights, you can see a lot of Santorini. It's a small island. So the things that used to be less appealing about cruise have been addressed in the recent years, and the value for money is just
so huge. I think what really strikes out to me right now and from what you say is that the value for money and it is crucial in today's you know, the times we live in, because like you said, everybody's back with this whole COVID rebound and people want to travel and therefore prices are just soaring. So I think cruises just fit in properly and beautifully there. And also the fact that you say that, because that was also one of my reservations about cruises, that you just do not get to explore a place because they just stop for 2 hours and that's not enough to really explore a place. But if that's changing, then I think it's a no-brainer. But what would you say are the best cruises around the world?
So I think what's essential is that you choose the cruise to go with your family setup. So if you are a family with young children, Royal Caribbean is the market leader by a long chalk. They have such amazing facilities for children, and the whole ship has got a, all of their ships have a sense of fun. So Royal Caribbean, if you're traveling with young children. If you're traveling multi-generational, I think NCL, which is Norwegian Cruise Line, actually American owned, but that's its original name. NCL has a very good multi-generational offering. So it's a big trend to travel with grandma and granddad and the kids. But there's just something, there's more for something for everybody across that portfolio. So there's more, you know, there's bingo as well for grandma and granddad to go and do their thing and stuff for the kids. There's racetracks and there's...
There is a cruise for everybody.
Yeah.
But so the world of cruises is really so vast. And the, I think what really stands out is that they're all value for money. And in today's times, I think that's very, very important. So that's fantastic. Now, let's talk a little bit about the latest feather in your hat, the Lonely Planet Guide to Dubai and Abu Dhabi. So tell us, of course, a little bit about your guides and tell us something about what is it about Dubai and Abu Dhabi that people don't know about. Everybody knows about the malls and the glam and the glitz and all of that. But what is it that people don't know about and don't really experience because they don't know about it or it is not highlighted in the media?
I feel like people don't realize how green and outdoorsy it can be. Particularly now, we've got some really amazing little hidden gems. Al Qudra cycling and hiking. I mean, that really, for the residents, became a thing in COVID, but it's remained popular. But I don't think tourists come to Dubai for hiking.
Right.
And they should, because we've got some beautiful hikes, some beautiful outdoor terrain. And yeah, I don't think people see that as much. In the book I write, obviously, as I said, I love old Dubai. I love that part of the world. And one of my favorite things to do there is the Frying Pan Adventures food tour with Ava and her sister Farida. It's so interesting to taste Dubai through the ages. And it also gives you a really delicious insight into all the different communities who have come here, all those layers. There's 200 nationalities.
Which make up Dubai, really. Which make up the country. I mean, not just Dubai,
Way beyond a food tour. It's a, you know, it's a historical...
It's a culture tour. It's beautiful.
It's absolutely lovely. They're fabulous. So things like that I recommend, because they, you don't need me to tell you about Burj Khalifa.
Yeah, of course.
You can't miss it.
That's true. So beyond the glitz and the glamour, there is really a lot, you know, in Dubai. Frying Pan Adventures is another really fantastic experience. So then let's talk about your favorite destination, having traveled.
Definitely London. So I went back with Visit Britain last year. And they took me on a, I think it's called Small Car Big City Tours. It is the cutest thing ever. They have, you know, the little mini Coopers, you know, the little cars?
Yeah.
So, bit of a British icon. They've basically got those, jazzed them up, turned them into little tour cars, and very eccentric or quintessential Brits turn up and they get you in the car and then they drive you to all of the landmarks. And it doesn't matter the weather. You're weatherproof. That's brilliant to have when you're on a trip in the UK. Absolutely 100% massively recommend that. And then they took me to, on the tour, a place called Leek Street, which is now called Graffiti Tunnel because Banksy, the graffiti artist, took it over for a weekend and had a can festival, on words. And the entire tunnel has been redecorated in the most amazing graffiti. And I lived in Waterloo. Mm. And I was like, how did I not stumble across this?
So you were a tourist in your own city.
Yeah, and I am every time I go back. Yeah,
because there is so much to explore, right? Yeah, all the time. And there's something coming up every other day and whenever you go back. So it's definitely London for your favorite city in the world.
And the best, you can see the best theatre. Mm. Obviously, you can see the best theatre in New York as well. But it's, I think there's just something so atmospheric about London.
I would agree. I think culturally it's also richer than New York. I mean, though I love New York, but you know, culturally London has much more than New York.
The South Bank. Yeah. Also, I feel like there's an energy in the streets. It's almost like, you know how you got this Mag4 charging docks with Apple now. I feel like when my feet touch London's concrete, it's like energized and I just feel you know.
And that's well said. I mean, yes, London has that energy, right? But you know, when you travel so much and, you know, as travelers, we know that things happen when we travel. Mm. So would you like to tell us about some of your travel bloopers? I mean, things that have happened in your travel life that have not been very, you know, that didn't leave a good taste in your mouth. Or it could be an experience that kind of was a revelation for you. Anything that you consider a blooper?
I think going back to what I said about safety, for me, anywhere where I don't feel safe kind of gets scratched off the return list. So I had a bad experience in Cambodia. I was backpacking on my own across Asia. And Vietnam was fabulous. Thailand was fabulous. Mm. And I got to Cambodia and it was just, there was an atmosphere to it where I was a little bit, you know, I just didn't feel as safe as... And then I was trying to like get back to my hotel before it was too late. And I'd been, you know, it's a long time ago. So I'm in an internet cafe that can tell you how long ago it is. Mm. And I'd gone there just to say, look, I'm in Cambodia now and I'm just getting funny vibes. Here's where I'm staying. This is what... I just wanted to tell people where I was and just check in and just, you know... And then I wanted to also look at, you know, getting out of there as well. Mm. And then when I came out of the internet cafe, it was already getting dark. So then I was in a panic because I didn't want to travel anywhere once it was dark. And the taxi service was, you know, it's guys on mopeds. Mm. So you hire a guy on a moped to drive you back to wherever you're going. Oh, okay. That was the taxi system at that point. I'm in Phnom Penh, I'm in the capital, but just it doesn't have the infrastructure. This is going back a while, but it didn't have the infrastructure. And so I was on the back of a moped and the guy drove straight past my hotel and drove me into a deserted car park. And I just had an absolute panic attack. He was trying to like get me off the back of him and I wouldn't get off the back because I thought, if I'm here, you can't touch me. And I don't know what his intention was, but somebody else drove into the car park. But when somebody else drove into the car park, then I really panicked because I thought they were together.
Right.
So I was the scaredest I've ever been on any travel experience in my life. As it was, the person was like, what are you doing? What's going on? And the guy like drove away. So the person coming in at the car park actually
helped
saved me from whatever was about to be my fate.
Okay.
But yeah, I walked back from the deserted car park to the hotel and just said, get me out of this country, please, now. I'm not leaving the hotel until I want some kind of safe transit to a port or an airport. And yeah, it was...
Was it an experience that kind of taught you what not to do when, say, you're in Cambodia next or any other country?
I just wouldn't go back without...
I
wouldn't go back in that
but
scenario.
That's also a learning curve, right? You know now that if you go back ever, then you want to go in a group. I mean, things happen when we travel and, you know, you spoke about these unfortunate incidents, but surely there is a hidden gem that you want to tell us today. So what is your hidden gem around the world?
There's a 4-star hotel called the Hotel Villa Royale in Pigalle in Paris. And it's, my husband took me there when we were dating and we stayed in the Victor Hugo suite, and it's ridiculously opulent with, you know, big 4-poster beds and embroidered walls and the TV's in a gilt picture frame. And it's a really nice hotel. I can't believe it's 4-star, but there's a little corner tub and it looks over the streets of Paris. And it's at the foot of Montmartre. I think it's probably affordable because Pigalle is considered to be a little bit of a dicey area in Paris. But it's right next to Montmartre. And that was where the Impressionists all used to hang out. So Montmartre is the subject of some of the world's best paintings.
And it's such a beautiful area of Paris.
Gorgeous. And Sacré-Cœur at the top.
Yeah.
And the beautiful views across Paris. So, I normally forget about hidden gems because they are a bit hidden. And people will ask me, where can I stay? And Paris, and I always remember that place. And I've been back since. And normally, even if I'm going back to a destination, I'll stay in a different hotel because it's useful for me to stay in as many hotels as possible in any destination.
Yeah.
So from a professional point of view, I almost never stay in the same hotel twice. But... when I go to Paris, I like to go and stay there.
So
really
this is the,
it.
Let's give the name
It's the Hotel Villa Royale.
Okay, in Paris?
Yes, Pigalle, Paris.
Pigalle, Paris. Okay, we have that hidden gem from Sarah today. Now, Sarah, as a travel expert, tell us, what are the travel trends for 2024?
Well, we hit on it earlier, cruising, but specifically Alaska, expedition cruising.
Okay.
And Northern Lights and Fjords cruises.
Okay.
So I think these are really trending now because anyone who's been in search of the Northern Lights, as I have, across Iceland and Finland, it's just annoying, frankly. I mean, the success rate is abysmal. And the chances of you, you know, the Iceland excursions, for example, you drive into the freezing cold countryside at 4 o'clock in the morning and sit in a car for 2 hours. It's just awful. They're they're awful experiences for the hope and chance to see the Northern Lights. And of course, the tour guides have to sell them all year round, even though a lot of the time they're going out knowing that there's no chance of seeing the Northern Lights. I think when you're on a ship, if it's a nice ship, you're having a good time. You are going to have a good time regardless. Okay. So if you are in a beautiful luxury ship on your own balcony, looking up, if they appear, they appear. If they don't, they don't.
Okay.
If they do, amazing. What a bonus.
The cruises are on the top of the list as travel trends.
I think so.
This year.
And Fjords.
And Fjords.
Like, I don't think there is a better way to see the Norwegian fjords than on a cruise ship. We went on a celebrity cruise to see them. And the ship, I mean, we were sailing down the river. There was waterfalls, huge 90-foot waterfalls all around us. And the captain said, I'm going to do a 3-point turn so you can see. And we're sat in the comfort of our lovely staterooms with our open air balconies. And it was just absolutely gobsmackingly amazing.
I
did go hiking and I did get, you know, like we were saying, there was 9 hours to go and explore in destination. But that was definitely one of the best cruises of my life. And there isn't a better way to see it because you're seeing it from the water.
Wow.
In in right in the middle of it, you know?
So I love the way you describe cruises. It's just making me more and more attracted to, you know, go on one.
You've just got to do the right cruise for you.
Right.
If you normally stay in 5-star hotels, book luxury.
Mm-hmm.
If you normally stay in 4-star hotels with lots of kids, book one of the, I think it's, you've got luxury and premium. So Royal Caribbean, Celebrity Cruises, they're in the premium range. So you've just got to decide what your land travel is like and make sure that your cruise travel matches
and choose
up
accordingly
to that. And make sure that the you know, the destinations are on your bucket list,
right?
And if they are important destinations, look for cruises where it's an overnight stay. If it's somewhere where you want to explore, you know, if it's somewhere where if you wanted to go to Athens for a weekend, for example, then there'll be a cruise that will stop in Athens for
so cruises. Yeah. Okay.
So and then, but then you get to see other places that you wouldn't ordinarily get to see.
I love the way you're passionate about
cruises. I love cruising. I've already booked or I'm in the middle of trying to find my next one.
Fabulous. So cruises for 2024, that's what people should be doing. So what's next on your bucket list? And having traveled so many places around the world, what is it that you're looking forward to next in travel?
In cruise, I want to cruise around Japan. Rail, I think, is going to be a big trend moving forward. It ties into everybody's sustainability goals. And Orient Express has always been on my bucket list. That won't be in the next 12 months. It's very expensive, but it's on my bucket list. And a stay in the Beverly Hills Hotel in LA. So Hollywood, it's unbelievable. And it's in loads of Hollywood films. It's just an absolute icon. So I want to go and actually have a holiday just in that hotel. I think it would just be amazing.
It would be incredible.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds fascinating. Do you also have a cruise that you want to go to?
Japan.
So
that's what I'm researching now. I do want to do the Alaska cruise, but I'm afraid of coldness.
Well said, coming from London.
Yeah. That's what I escaped. I have to say, if you are cruising, you need to have a health plan.
Yeah.
Like, you need to have some rules about, you know, skip breakfast or, you know, do your 5K in the morning because the temptation is huge. There's going to be like 10 restaurants at least probably and the food's going to be good and the
wine is going to be good.
It's all inclusive and you can have whatever you want.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if you've never done a cruise as well, imagine a Dubai brunch that doesn't end for a week.
Oh, Lord.
That's what a cruise is like, right? Oh, so God. You have to...
Okay, no, but that's a good tip. That's a very good tip.
You have to control yourself. Yeah. Like,
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, I really wish you all the best. And I hope you get to go on this fabulous Japan cruise and you go and stay at the Beverly Hills Hotel and lead a Hollywood life for a bit. And thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today, Sarah. This has been really incredible. And especially talking about cruises and really, I think it's been very inspiring for a lot of listeners out there to definitely go on a cruise this year.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. I hope our conversations have fueled your wanderlust and inspired you to explore the world in new and exciting ways. Please don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already and let us know what you thought of today's episode. Until the next time, safe travels and keep adventuring.